Good morning. Today is Monday, the 21st of November. Do you have your turkey yet? We've got ours. Yeah. Joining us this morning is Mr. Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank.
Wow.
You like that smooth one, huh?
You know, I feel insulted.
I could have said yams if
point.
That would have felt better for you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That was great, Brian.
Thanks.
Up until then, it was great to be here.
Yeah, yeah. First nanosecond or three.
There you go, yeah.
All right, well, this is going to add to your excitement then.
Okay.
Why do we say tuxedo?
Why do we say it? Because we're describing it. I have no idea where the term tuxedo came from.
When you wear a tuxedo or see someone else sporting this outfit, chances are that you will associate it with a gala evening rather than the great outdoors. That linkage conceals the background of the garment's name. Among some American Indians, the concept of a round foot, such as that of a wolf, was expressed by sounds that whites rendered as tuxedo. That, in turn, named a lake not far from New York City. When the family of tobacco magnate Pierre LaRode acquired the region near the lake, it became an exclusive residential area. At a famous Tuxedo Lake party, here we go, males wore a newfangled dress outfit. Almost inevitably, it took the name of the resort that bore the name of the Wolf's Foot.
You know, I am so shocked I didn't know that.
Tuxedo Park, you could have known. That was about the only thing that I recognized in that one.
Yes, I'm just absolutely shocked that I didn't know that.
Just like, okay, are you more familiar with Turkey Lurkey? Yeah.
It's a sandwich, as far as I know.
Yeah, with dressing. You know, I probably ought to break down more often than just this time of the year with dressing. I love dressing.
Do you?
Not the verb, but the meal.
The meal.
The accompaniment, yeah.
Well, I'm very happy for you. So Thursday will be a good day for you.
You're not a big dressing?
I am not a big dressing guy, yeah. Yeah,
what,
I like
what
the
is
turkey.
Yours?
The turkey and the potatoes are probably...
Mashed potatoes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, apparently you're getting silent support from Winston. Yeah. So what do you do with your mashed potatoes? We will eventually get to some topic that is...
Yeah, yeah, no.
Not initially.
You know, I'm kind of a purist, so I like it with butter and some pepper on it. And
no garlic?
And then I eat it with my turkey, you know. Put it on the fork with the turkey, and
okay.
I enjoy that. Now, the gravy goes on the turkey, but...
So you just kind of have a pile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I put in garlic and dill in the mashed potatoes.
Garlic and dill. Wow.
Yeah. And butter.
Yeah. Well, you're so much more creative than I am.
Well, no, I just know how to open up a couple jars. I'm a combo guy. I'm not going out in the field and picking wild dill or anything like that.
But I am cooking the turkey this year.
You are?
Yes, I'll be
deep
cooking.
Deep fried or in the oven?
We did do the deep fry thing for about 4 or 5 years, and that was really good. But now I have I smoke it, and then I slow cook it all day long.
So you don't eat until about 8 o'clock?
Well, not all that, no. I just start at, 7 or 8 in the morning.
A little early?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how that event is smell-oriented? Right, I mean, Halloween is visual.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is, everything. But Thanksgiving is, without the smells,
It
really isn't quite the same kind of an event.
Yeah, no. So we're looking forward to it. It's the first time we've had Thanksgiving at our house for a while. So.
Oh, you're going to have the crowd, everybody showing up?
Well, not a big crowd, but...
So it's a small turkey then?
I haven't bought it yet.
Oh, yeah.
I usually get the big one for the leftovers, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they have to come up with a larger oven. Oh, too much fun. Too much fun. So you have to be open on Friday, though, right?
We're open on Friday. We cannot be closed 4 days in a row. That's a law. So we're open. We will close at 3 o'clock. We close a little early. It's the slowest business day of the year for us, the day after Thanksgiving.
Is there a minimum number of hours?
No, not really.
Why not one?
Well, because I went from 5 to 3. I thought I was being generous there.
Oh.
Yeah. And then if you go to 1, then they'll want to be 11.
This is like Scrooge McDuck?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that runs that bank, What a jerk.
Yeah.
In fact, somebody called him a turkey earlier today.
Yeah. Well, that would work.
Yeah.
That would work. Better than a yam.
There you go.
Right? All right. with that as a backdrop, we'll try to stay out of politics.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, gee. Now, there was something that one of... There was an indication that December that there still was going to be another kick up in the rates.
Yeah.
It is interesting for me, and I guess this is where I kind of get a little foggy really quick. What is the real goal of this thing? I mean, is it to kill the economy? Is it to have, with all of these layoffs that are going on with in the tech sector, to have more and more unemployed? To have manufacturing grind to a halt? I mean, you know, that's kind of the trail that they're going on here.
The goal is to reduce inflation to 2% or lower. To do so, what they're trying to do is to slow the economy, to reduce demand.
But it hasn't happening. We had the numbers last week that we're saying how car sales were up and all these other areas were up, and it's still clipping along at 7 or 8%.
Yeah, I didn't say it was effective yet.
But
that is their goal, is solely to reduce inflation, even though what they're doing, slowing the economy by raising rates and by reducing the money supply, they're hoping to reduce demand for products and services.
It seems to me like there's a disconnect because we've got gas prices still extraordinarily high. There was an edict, I don't know, by the president early last week that he was going to go after the oil-producing folks and put in heightened restrictions on methane. And it's like, well, that's going to drive prices up. I mean, it's like the two aren't talking to each other. Is that kind of is that a fair read of what's going
well,
on?
Well, that's my read on it. Okay. Now, I'm not an economist. You know, I work on Main Street, not Wall Street. So with that said, you know, the big picture is I looked at it was when we decided we didn't want to be energy independent. That's when gas prices went up, fuel prices, and then that has a ripple effect throughout the system on raising prices.
And then at the same time, we've given, what, almost $70 billion to help support Ukraine?
Yep.
That's an independent event also. KINS, News and Information Times, 819.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. John, looking at some of these things that are being talked about, and again, I'm not as knowledgeable certainly as what you are in this arena, but it seems like we've got all these islands in the pond, and there's no bridges connecting them as we're spending money crazy here and spending money crazy here, and we're not spending in this area, and we're restricting this kind of business sector, and then we still are pushing a lot of stuff that's sending monies overseas to China and Russia. I mean, it just seems, well, I think Alice in Wonderland had a phrase for it. But just say topsy-turvy and be nice.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of things I don't understand why our government does what it does. I think that's been true forever. But with that said, when it comes to energy, I don't see why our administration thinks it's so much better to drill oil and to consume it from countries that don't have the same environmental standards that we do. You would think, you know, the best thing to do would be to produce it here rather than buying it elsewhere where it's not produced as cleanly as we do.
Well, and I understand, you know, the green technology and, you know, the efforts in that area, but I heard a statistic last week that indicated 10% of all energy consumption in America is now green or green sourced or green. I guess that would be the reference to it. But the reason it's that high is because of all the government subsidies that are associated with it. So it's not as if the free market is driving this bus, to quote your favorite author. This is something entirely different, and it's another false economy.
I think, and this is just speculation, but I think he's said it, is our administration wants to raise the price of energy so that we're forced to go with green energies. The problem is there isn't the technology or the ability to generate enough power to keep our lifestyle where it currently is.
With the snowstorms in New England and the Midwest. I mean, you know, you still need to have access to fuel just to keep the economy going.
Well, our electricity here in Humboldt County comes from, you know, burning of natural gas at the plant down King Salmon. And so, you know, what as we move towards electric vehicles, we don't have the electric infrastructure, and we're trying to do away with the dams and with the nuclear plants. You know, those are almost all gone. So what are we going to replace it with? And that's the part that gets frustrating is, you know, there doesn't seem to be a master plan of how to generate enough electricity, either by green sources or other sources, whether it's nuclear or whatever, to substitute for petroleum products.
So as we have that as a little bit of a backdrop, hearing what the Fed is trying to do with inflation, is 2% achievable without absolutely just killing the economy?
And by killing the economy, the way they term that is a soft landing or a hard landing.
How about a bump, crash, you lost the wheels on your airplane landing.
That would be a really hard landing.
Yeah.
And so the Fed uses those terms, and they've come with a new term, and that's a soft-ish landing, which is somewhere in between. So we've gone from the Fed believing we can have a soft landing to a soft-ish, which means we're getting close to a hard landing, i.e. we're going to go into, they may have to force us into recession to curb.
Well, if we aren't. And we may be there already, and that, I think, is one of the perturbing things. Boy, that's a fancy word for today, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Perturbing things for a lot of us is with the redefinition and the information that may or may not be released current time, there's a lot of folks that think we're already there. We just don't know that we're there yet because nobody is using the right words, and it's all kind of shielded and protected and camouflaged.
So, you know, we haven't, the definition of recession is determined by whether we're in a recession by an actual group of people that meet. And I've lost the name of this group, but it's a committee that meets and says we are or are not in a recession. So the definition of 2 consecutive months of reduced GDP is not an absolute definition. Now, it's certainly an indication that we're heading that way or we should be in one.
But in the old days, that was the definition.
So, well, it's never been an absolute, but it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So with that said, if you look at the indicators, the current indicators, the composite index, would say, yes, 70% chance of recession. If you look at the industrial index, it says, no, we're not. And that's the increase in inventory and industrial orders for consumer good or for goods. But the yield curve, which is slightly upside down, is shows a 25% chance of recession. My point being is that we're seeing, when you talk about recession, we're seeing mixed messages out there.
Confusion.
Right. And at the same time, we have the Fed that's trying to reduce inflation by slowing the economy and reducing demand. And then you have the administration, which is trying to drive up fuel prices to force people into electric and other alternative means of generating energy.
Well, and that's just on one facet of what's going on at the federal level, too. So, it looks like ye old clock has got us again, huh? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. I think I like the food talk better than this stuff.
Yeah.
It's not a wonder that most of us get confused so easily with a lot of the economic discussions that are going on. You know, so, okay, let's boil it down. How much is the credit card rate going to be if you own a variable? Is the stock market up or down today? As an indicator,
mm-hmm.
Are there things on the shelves or not? And do I have a job? You can throw in gas price if you wanted to mm-hmm. also. I don't think we can go too much deeper than that unless this is either our avocation or vocation.
Well, the other challenge you have is even if you have a job, you know, the cost of goods, food, energy, that gasoline is going up faster than your wages are.
Right, so you're netting a negative.
Right, and at the same time, we're seeing, your 401ks are not only shrinking, but the dollars themselves, I mean, if you have 8% inflation, you have lost 8% of
your losing
power.
And losing, yeah.
Right, and so there's no winners with inflation, you know, as you move forward. And so that's why the Fed is so focused on reducing it. But yeah, we're all confused because there's mixed messages. So for instance, you hear all the time that, you know, unemployment is at a low. Well, the other thing that's at a low is participation in the labor markets, which is now down to 62%. And so, yes, unemployment is low, but it's because people are choosing not to work. And that's a function of what happened during the COVID era, as people were paid not to work, they kind of got used to it. Or everybody has a different story, so it's
right.
It's not a homogenous reason, but the result is we have very few people producing right now, 62% participation.
As you look at that, John, obviously it doesn't bode well for the future as those folks start to get a retirement age or opt to retire. So now we got labor versus computerization. Okay, that's one way to play it out. But it seems like there's going to be a reckoning of some sort. And what it is and how it looks, I don't know if any of us really know what that could be. What are you looking at as your canaries?
Well, excuse me. We monitor things like foreclosures. Foreclosures are up not only statewide but also here in Humboldt County. Now, we haven't been impacted by it yet, but because they're up, that gives you an indication that people are either having challenges with the increase in rates, they've lost their jobs, their income has been changed, or they're upside down their homes and they're just walking away.
Is that a dramatic increase, or are you talking small?
There hasn't been that many foreclosures in this area, so the number that is up is dramatically up.
Percentage-wise?
Correct.
Raw numbers?
So you're looking at, I think, 30 are taking place, are current in foreclosure. In Eureka, 44 countywide, and those are big numbers for us.
Yeah, that would seem like, you know, for those that move in and do the flips, that probably gives them an opportunity to do something. Not that that's a positive way to get there.
Well,
but that's a
yeah,
tough
and see
one.
The buying power of anybody who needs to borrow to purchase a home has dropped dramatically. At the same time, we saw this big push in prices. We also still have a housing shortage,
right?
But which drives prices to remain relatively high, and so you have this huge disparity between the average wage earner and what housing is. And so that's going to be a problem, and it's going to get worse as we move forward.
Credit card balances. Again, I was doing a little bit of reading, that they have gone up 15% and that a lot of folks are using their credit cards.
That is correct.
As a way to either keep it together or maintain this living standard that they are associated with. Is that a number that you pay attention to also?
So we're not really directly in the credit card business. So,
but as far as
so
market
we don't have
health.
A portfolio, but yeah. But to answer your question, yes. as credit card debt goes up, that tells you that it's funding a shortfall somewhere. And it is a temporary means of funding a shortfall, much like using our strategic reserves of oil to try and reduce gas prices. You know, that's not a permanent solution. It's temporary because, you know, it's a finite amount. Right. The same thing with your credit cards is, you know, you have a finite amount that's available on those. And as you utilize them, you know, the monthly payment goes up and it actually makes things worse.
Right.
And so it's a really good indicator that there are challenges.
Is there a magic threshold point for that?
Not that I'm aware. There probably is, but I don't
okay.
know. Okay,
but you guys don't actively monitor that
no,
one.
No, we don't.
Just because
we're aware of it, but we
yeah.
don't monitor it.
Yeah. Street talk. You know, when you're talking to your business buddies and they say,
I'm not
here. Do you use that at all as far as labor or materials or cost of goods sold or any of those?
You know,
elements?
I'm not getting a lot of complaints and concerns, which is really interesting.
I wonder if we're the outlier because of Humboldt.
Yeah.
And some of these other projects that are percolating. All right, the duck flies, we're out of here. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. John, I would think that another area for monitoring is airplane, air flights, travel, vacation, discretionary in most situations. Is that an area that kind of gets your attention too, whether it's here at ACV or just nationally, either the cost of?
Yeah, we don't monitor it, but it's also been diluted by the issue of COVID, if you recall. That wasn't a financial indicator. It was one of people reluctant to fly because of their concerns. But I don't know if it's true, but from the news, it sounds like, you know, it's a brawl every time you get on an airplane. So, because of health concerns, I have not been able to fly, for the last few years. So I'm not aware of, what's really going on. But,
just the industry that, once flying started, and people are now, obviously, they're flying a whole lot more than what they have in the past, the pent-up demand, the challenges associated with that. And for us, I think that might be part and parcel of why you're not hearing some of the challenges locally here, is that we are one of those places that people are going to.
And we've always been a different vacation destination. And so we are a automotive destination. People come here by car generally. They don't fly in to visit.
Yeah, more times than not.
For vacation. Yeah. And so that's really boded well for us during difficult times. After 9/11, you saw a real drop in air travel, and hotels were really struggling. Ours were full because people were driving. Right. We're a driving destination, so they felt safe in coming here. So air travel more is for people in Humboldt County leaving and coming back, as opposed to people coming here for vacation to see the Redwoods.
Right. I'm just thinking for myself, what do I get excited about when something is up? I feel positive. When something is off, I feel negative with. And that's airline travel is one of those things, because I think it's a reflection of just the overall confidence.
Yeah, and then you have sales tax receipts, which is a good indicator of consumer confidence. And the consumer confidence numbers have actually been pretty good,
which is,
despite all the problems.
Yeah, that's another head scratcher too. Mm-hmm. Things aren't adding up.
Yeah. Mixed messages.
Yeah. Is there a website that you go to that isn't a limited one or specific to your industry that you go to just to kind of get a sense? Consumer Reports wouldn't be one of those, obviously, but something that's consumer behavior driven to kind of get a feel?
So we monitor, and years ago I helped start this, and that is the what is now called Cal Poly Humboldt. Their economic department does an economic index for Humboldt County, and they publish that monthly. It's very comprehensive, for having something here done locally regarding, energy consumption, employment, and they monitor things like how many employment ads there are, housing.
Now that one's got to be tough these days, huh, with all the internet stuff.
That's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Housing, manufacturing, retail, so it's pretty comprehensive as far as giving you an indication of what's happening within Humboldt County.
So what is that showing you?
So, that's showing us, that's pretty, relatively stable in comparison to the rest of the country, but that's been normal for us to be. We've never had a fantastic economy, but we've never had a terrible one either. And so we've been relatively insulated from the peaks and valleys of the economy. But the insulation factor is reducing. And so as things have changed, we are starting to see ups and downs more with the rest of the state and with the rest of the country.
It's surprising to me the amount of construction that is going on now. We see a little bit in Old Town. McKinleyville is going crazy stupid. Fortuna's got their challenges now with the hookups.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be a lot of stuff happening here that hasn't been happening in the past. So I was wondering if it was reflecting in
so
your economic
building
stuff.
Demand exceeds the supply. Oh, yeah. Currently.
Yeah.
And so finding a contractor can be very, very challenging these days. But yeah,
but those that are, they're out buzzing around all over the place.
They are busy. Yeah.
Yeah. Buzzing is another technical term.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a radio term.
Yeah. Buzz the towers. Yeah. No, don't. All right. Well, enjoy your turkey and your mashed potatoes. I'll be thinking of you as I'm pounding down the dressing.
Very good.
All right, bud.
And if I get any dressing, I'll send it your way.
Right on, right on. Thanks for coming by. See you, everybody tomorrow.